Why did it get so hot in the stadium after the game? Because all the fans left. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Starting Sustainability. This is episode 144. I am your host, Kaylin Chenoweth. I've been gone for a couple of weeks on vacation, and I have a lot to catch up with you. So let me start off by backing up a few weeks. There was a community-wide garage sale, which I love because now you can literally just hop garage sale to garage sale and hit up like 20 of them in an hour because they're all right beside each other, which is amazing. I love that about our small town. At one of the garage sales, we got a pool for $75, and that was including the pump, the filter, the skimmer, the hoses, and a whole tub of all of the chemicals needed for the pool, which that tub full of chemicals alone was worth way more than $75. I am super stoked. We've never had a pool before, so this is definitely going to be a new learning experience for us. Our goal was to set it up last weekend, but it rained all weekend, and now our goal is to set it up this weekend. In the previous episode, I alluded to having some issues with my computer. So just to kind of fill everybody in, anybody who's tech savvy or just even not savvy, let me just fill you in. Because this was a learning experience in my world. And if I have to learn something the hard way, I want to take the time to share it with you so you don't have to learn it the hard way. I have a MacBook Air laptop, and I am not pro or anti-Apple. That's just what I've got. I've always had good luck with them. I'm not boasting or bragging or saying you need to do it. I'm just letting you know that's what I've got. One of the USB ports in it is broken. It's been broken for a long time, but there's two USB ports. Therefore, I've just been using the other one. And on a regular basis, I back up and save all of my episodes on a thumb drive. All of the recordings and all the episodes, all the interviews, everything. It all gets saved on a thumb drive. And then I got to the point where I couldn't back up episodes anymore because the port kept ejecting the thumb drive. And I went through three different thumb drives that I had purchased, and all three of them kept getting ejected. Therefore, I took my laptop into Best Buy, which is where I got my laptop to begin with, and they said it was going to be $375 just for the part. Like just for the port part that I needed, but also another $100 to ship it to the Apple store, plus whatever the heck labor cost. After much back and forth with Geek Squad, we decided that it was not my port, but the thumb drives themselves. So Geek Squad took it to the back, they tried to clean up, they tried it with their thumb drives and had no problems at all. It was my thumb drives, all three of my thumb drives. But apparently mine were crumb brands and theirs were really good, significantly better brands. More expensive and mine are cheap, which I guess you get what you pay for. This is the part that I learned. They recommend Kingston or PNY, Papa November Yankee, PNY. So Kingston or PNY, those brands are really good and they are expensive. But they are significantly less expensive than repairing a port. So that was my hard lesson learned. If you're going to be getting thumb drives to back up all your data on, get the good brands. Also, I'd like to clarify that I have a gigantic canker sore on the side of my tongue, and I am talking out of the side of my mouth. It's been like this for a few days. This is day number 4 at this point. It's incredibly painful, but I am running out of time to record. So now you get to hear me slur every once in a while, and I am not drunk. I'm just in pain, that is all. Back to catching up. Before I left on vacation, I bought some more plants for the garden. The potatoes that went bad in my cupboard a long time ago, I planted them on April 1st, and they have all developed very nicely. And the harvest is 90 days, which means they'll be ready by July 1st. But I truly could not believe that I just had potatoes. When I say they went bad, I mean they grew eyes. They literally grew eyes. So I just cut the potatoes in half and put them straight in the soil. Just covered them up and watered them every few days or as needed. And they've really taken off, which is great. So a lesson there, you don't actually have to go buy special gardening potatoes. You can just use the one in your cupboards. Well, you know what? I'm speaking too early. It's not July 1st. I haven't actually harvested them. So right now the green plants up top look great. I have no idea what's below the soil. So I take all that back and I'll let you know in the next couple of episodes, a couple of episodes from now, once I harvest, how the potatoes turned out. These are the red potatoes, the red skin potatoes, the ones that you don't have to peel. Those are my favorite. A lot less work. I also found a place that sold asparagus roots, which is phenomenal. So I bought 5 of them and planted them, and little tiny cute baby asparagus has started growing up, which is awesome. I'm really excited because these are going to return year after year, which means a lot less work for me. I'm doing my best to find plants that keep coming back. That way I don't have to keep buying plants to get food. These will just come back year after year. Apparently with asparagus, when it grows this first time around, like right now, the little baby ones, you cannot harvest them. I will have to wait until the second growing. I'll have to wait till next year before I can harvest them, which is fine. I'm just excited to have food that returns. I also happened to go shopping at Aldi one day a few weeks ago, and they had on sale Concord grape plants for $5.99 each, about $6. Previously, I'd gone to a couple of other box stores because I specifically was looking for grapevine plants, and they were for $15 each, which is insanely expensive, and I ended up not buying them. So when I saw them at Aldi for $6 each, I got very excited and I bought 3 of them and planted them all. Now I just have to find a fence because they will grow and they're going to vine, and so I need a fence for them to get attached to to support them year after year. But that's all right. I at least have them in the ground and they're thriving. They're small right now. I have a little bit of time on my side to find a fence or some type of fence structure, but I'm very excited. It's going to be another year or so before I get grapes, but I am super stoked. Pretty sure these are going to be the grapes with a whole bunch of seeds in them. I didn't really think about that when I bought them. I was just so excited to find them cheap, but that's okay because really my plan is to make homemade grape juice and grape jelly and maybe some other stuff too, whatever I find. Either way, the seeds will be filtered. The seeds and the skin will be filtered out. So I'm not too worried about it, but I'm very excited that I got grape plants. And I also bought herbs for a full herb garden this year. This is one of the items on my bucket list that I wanted to get an actual herb garden. Last year I did 2. I did oregano and cilantro, which, holy crap, when that stuff is fresh out of the garden, it is so flavorful and delicious. It is really good. Made my pizza and my spaghetti sauce with the oregano, made those really great. And then when I made tacos, I got fresh cilantro and it was so good. So I'm very excited to get more herbs out of the garden this year. Oh, by the way, the oregano, that came back from last year, which I didn't know it was going to do that. So that came back and it is huge. So if anybody needs oregano, I have plenty of it. I'm happy to share. I was super excited about it growing back. I asked the lady at the plant nursery, I said, which other plants are going to come back year after year? And those are the herbs that I got. Thyme, sage, lavender, chives, and garlic chives is what I got. I'm not really sure how to cook the lavender. I was just super excited to find stuff that came back so I wouldn't have to keep buying more plants each year, but I will figure it out. I think you can put lavender in desserts. I don't know. So if anybody knows how I can use lavender in food, I'm sure I'll figure it out. But if you've got ideas or recipes or anything, let me know. You can do that by hopping on the Facebook group, Starting Sustainability, the Facebook group. You can post it on there or you can just shoot me a private message. I'm really kind of done handing out my email at this point because it is hundreds of spam and junk every day. And it's exhausting trying to keep up with it. It really is. It's just exhausting. So I'm kind of at the point where I just don't even check the email anymore because I know it's just going to be another chore that is draining. not fun, not rewarding in any way, just draining. Okay, back to the gardening. Well, really, that was kind of it on the gardening update. That's all the stuff that I've planted, and I did all that right before we took off on vacation, so I was excited that they were all still alive when I came back. The reason I'm talking so much about gardening is because gardening is really the miniature version of farming, right? I'm getting more acquainted with gardening and tending to chickens, and I'm barely doing enough gardening to feed my family. It's really just veggies and herbs. I'm learning the process. I'm getting the hang of it, but I cannot feed my whole family. That's my goal, is one day to be able to feed my entire family for a year without having to go to the grocery store. I think that will fit into my bucket list in about 10 years. Hopefully sooner, but that's probably more realistic goals, about 10 years, but that's okay. Until then, I'm just going to keep trying and learning each and every year. Since many of us garden, I thought information about feeding families across America on a large scale would make for a great topic this week. Therefore, the topic is AI, artificial intelligence, AI farming. The sources for this episode are a Forbes article titled How AI is Cropping Up in the Agriculture Industry, and another article in regards to Bill Gates titled Bill Gates Moves on Green Artificial Intelligence in Silicon Valley. It's a not very exciting title, or it's kind of long, not really catchy, but either way, it had a lot of good information. In the last 50 years, the population has doubled, and today there are 8 billion humans living on this planet. At the current rate, we should reach 9 billion in about 15 years. That's really close. That means my kids will be 20, 18, and 15 at that time. Well, maybe also a little 13-year-old in there if we have a fourth kid. I don't know. Channing, if you're listening, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But anyways, what I want to do is really take the time to think about, what is it going to take to feed all of these people? 9 billion's a lot, and we need to get it figured out. Back in 1955, the term artificial intelligence was coined, and the definition of it was the science and engineering of making intelligent machines. And who knew that we could use this technology's effect on our ever-growing food supply needs? On average, a person requires 2,000 calories per day to maintain a healthy lifestyle. You don't need to be a registered dietitian to understand that. That's just on average. Some are going to need more, like athletes, and some are going to need less calories, like kids. But overall, it's 2,000 calories. The population of the world is growing. Increasing food growth and production requirements. At the same time, we have climate change that is straining on agricultural production and water resources. That puts us in quite a pickle in 15 years, doesn't it? I'm not really sure why, but farmers don't get the respect that they deserve for all the knowledge that they need to grow food. I am struggling in my own personal garden, and farmers need to be experts on a lot, because they have to grow on mass production, mass scale. They need to be experts on the soil in their fields, fertilizers and amendments, insecticides specific to different crops, planting and irrigation cycles, weather impacts, and a lot more. And they are under a lot of pressure too. Pests alone destroy up to 40% of the world's crops each year. And farmers know that they need to produce more food now than ever, and they need to produce more food while using less water and energy and resources. Due to urbanization, immigration issues, and a general shift away from farming, there has been a farm labor shortage globally for years, which means farmers also need to reduce their reliance on a workforce. A successful crop cycle has never been more dependent on technology. The autonomous, which is a big, long, fancy word, but it means self-sufficient, so the autonomous, self-running farming industry is beginning to really catch on. There are approximately 200 AI, artificial intelligence-based agricultural startups in the U.S. alone. Examples of artificial intelligence on farms include self-driving tractors and self-driving combine harvesters, autonomous sprayers, and robot swarms for crop inspection. I had no clue what the heck a robot swarm was, so I had to look it up. It is a group of drones, or a swarm, since they are flying. That's my assumption. And what they do is they fly over the fields of crops, and they're looking for weeds, pests or diseased crops, and then they collect all that data and they relay that information. That way issues can be addressed in a targeted manner. For example, it would be a targeted herbicide application for the weeds, reducing human labor and the volume of chemicals compared to spraying the whole entire field, or even eliminating the need for questionable practices like incorporating a Roundup gene in the crop's DNA. That would be the bad side of GMOs, genetically modified organisms, but that's a whole other topic, and we won't get into that debate right now. Another form of AI is farming indoors. This has become an option for smaller crops like herbs because the AI is used to collect data on the crops and can adjust the environment for optimal nutrition and flavor. Robots are also used to harvest the food. And we're going to touch more on that coming up in just a little bit. Growing and harvesting food is not the only consideration. It is estimated that 17% of total global food production is wasted, and that's according to the United Nations. When food is wasted, the resources used in its production, like the water, land, energy, labor, and capital, those are all also wasted. Not only that, but the disposal of food waste in landfills leads to greenhouse gas emissions, which again contribute to climate change. Therefore, it is incredibly important and impactful to be more efficient in growing food and reducing the amount of food wasted, and AI can help us accomplish this. There's a few different ways that we can incorporate AI and take advantage of AI to help make this happen. The first one is to incorporate multiple data types. There are many available options, including video, IoT sensors, which measure their, I had to look those up because I didn't really know what those were either. It's a capital I, a little O, and a capital T. So I'm just calling it an IoT sensor, but I'm not even really sure if that's what it's called because everything I read, I didn't hear anything. It's all red with my eyes. But anyways, those sensors are pretty cool. They measure the environmental changes like heat, air pressure, humidity, all of that stuff. So those are incorporated. We can also get computer vision technology, or really any multitude of technologies that capture images, light, or other inputs. And then we can track all the data points. Just one plant alone can provide millions of data points on how light, water, weather, and environmental variations can impact production, taste, nutrition, disease, and waste. Over time, this can provide invaluable insights that can spur efficiency gains, such as improving yield, cutting waste, enhancing nutritional value, and minimizing diminishing resources like water and suitable land. Imagine me gardening, or you gardening, just imagining a small gardening scenario. I walk out to the garden daily, or at least really 2 to 3 times a week, and look at it. I have to make observations. Are there little holes on my lettuce leaves? Then it must be time for some BT spray or the caterpillars are going to eat all of my plants. I also have to feel the soil and see how dry it is. Do I need to add more water? I take notes on what day I planted crops so I know approximately when I can harvest them. I have to pay attention to what little pests are coming to my garden, if rabbits are visiting and eating up my pepper plants. It would be really cool to have a little sensor to just tell me what I need to do and when in order to create an optimally producing garden. That would be cool. Now think of it on the big scale. Farmers can utilize around-the-clock monitoring and constant AI learning. There would be improvements on every aspect of food production, operations, and distribution. For example, unmanned aerial vehicles, or drones, can provide the image data, train computer vision models, enabling constant information about crop growth and the environment. With AI, farmers are better able to monitor their crops to adjust in real time to events like recent rainstorms or drought conditions, to alter water input or put up canopies. They would get this information and then make adjustments to preserve their crops and have bountiful yields. Earlier, I mentioned a self-driving combine. For those of you who may not be familiar, combines are what we use to harvest a lot. Around where I live, we have a lot of corn, so I always see the combines in the fall harvesting the corn. But combine operations is another example how we can use artificial intelligence. Human combine operators have to physically make sieve or sifting adjustments if upon visual inspection they realize they have too much cob or foreign material in a grain sample. Artificial intelligence can utilize databases of images, differentiating good grain quality from bad, and to drive sensors that tell the combine to make adjustments, such as shutting down a lower sieve or sifter, or increasing fan or rotator speed. There's a lot of things going on in the combine, and having the artificial intelligence will help enhance humans having to physically look and take notes on everything as they're driving the combine. You're driving this big $250,000 piece of equipment. It actually might be even more than that. And you're driving that and you're trying to look and monitor everything. So having the AI and having computers tell you how to manipulate your controls to get an optimal harvest and yield, you want to be turning in good quality grain. If there's a lot of weeds and poor grain in there, the amount that is paid for your grain goes down. Better quality, you get paid more. Low quality, paid less. It's pretty simple. AI is going to help out so much. To me, it's pretty darn cool to see how we can use technology to feed the planet while curbing waste. This is just super cool. Those are some examples of how we can incorporate artificial intelligence into massive farming. As I mentioned earlier, Bill Gates is back. Well, just on this podcast, not in person. We're just going to talk about him for a minute, or at least one of his investments. Don't worry, we're not going to be discussing drinking your own pee again. That was also a Bill Gates investment, but this is a different one. For those of you who don't know, Bill Gates is a billionaire, and he got his money from Microsoft, from inventing Microsoft. But Bill Gates also invests in multiple sustainability-related projects, companies, startups, all of it. He's really into saving the planet, which is great. And he's got the money to back it up and make it happen. One of the startups is called Iron Ox. Iron like strike while the iron is hot, the iron the metal. Ox like an oxen, O-X, Iron Ox. Anyways, Iron Ox is a Silicon Valley startup who uses robots to make more sustainable products. Think of an artificial intelligence greenhouse that uses a hydroponic system, which uses 90% less water than a traditional farm. The AI greenhouse is 930 square feet. It is located in Gilroy, California, and it is home to Grover, who is an autonomous robot who can lift pallets of small foods, basil, strawberries, coriander, parsley, and tomatoes, and it will inspect them. So these are all plants growing hydroponically. And when I say that, it's literally like a pallet, 3-foot by 4-foot space where all these plants are growing, and Grover will lift them up and check on them and inspect them and take all the data points and everything that we talked about earlier. They're being incorporated in Iron Ox, which is really cool. In the AI greenhouses, sensors will test the water, nitrogen, and acid for a number of healthy developments. Water not used by the pumping system in the hydroponics can then be reused later. That's why it's using so much less water, because the water is being saved and reused. This is a big deal. Think about the state of California that has been drought-ridden for years. So water conservation is a very big deal, where we can produce a lot of food and not waste the water. This is phenomenal. Another startup is AeroFarm. That is A-E-R-O, kind of like Aerosmith, but AeroFarm. And this is, again, an indoor agricultural farm, but it's vertical. AeroFarm has created and operates 9 indoor farms, the largest in the world, and it's using its patented aeroponic system to grow many different varieties of leafy vegetables and herbs. Again, smaller crops, but still, it's a start and it's really cool. Robotics will boost human productivity. It's not going to destroy our jobs. It's just going to produce human productivity. Remember, there is a massive labor shortage. The robots are only here to help. Honestly, it's not a question of if. It's figuring out the timeline of implementation. The robots are doing their jobs and enhancing the growing and production of food while conserving water, chemicals, labor, and other resources. It's a great solution. We probably should anticipate a rise in companies that manufacture drones, robots, and self-driving cars, as well as them incorporating AI farming into their systems. Food for America, food for the whole world is important. And this is the way of the future. And this is how we're going to take care of one another. It is time for the challenge, which I've done a lot of talking about gardening and farming, but I think I'm going to take a slightly different turn in the challenge. This is inspired by my trip to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. That's what I did on vacation. I don't even know if I disclosed all that. We went to Texas, and then we went to Texas. We drove to Texas with 3 kids. We dropped the money, got the AC and the van fixed, drove our butts to Texas. It's a 17-hour drive, and when you add in 3 kids, it makes it about a 48-hour drive. It's so long. But anyways, they did great. Texas is wonderful. After Texas, came back, and then I went and met up with my siblings for Siblings Week in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Siblings Week, we've done this before. I've talked about it on the podcast before, but I'm the youngest of 8. And Siblings Week is just that, siblings only. No spouses, no children, and even our own parents are not invited. It's just the siblings, because we all get along and have a lot of fun. So we do that. We did a trip to Gatlinburg, Tennessee for a whole week, and it was awesome and wonderful. We went to the Welcome Center and joined in on a tour, a guided hike. And on that hike, we got to learn about different plants, which was all my world because I'm really into foraging. So I thought that was very cool. But I also learned about iNaturalist. This is an app, and this is your challenge for the week. Download the app iNaturalist and go for a hike and or walk around your neighborhood. Find a couple of plants that you don't know. Take a picture of them. Share it on iNaturalist. And this is cool because it will tell you what the plant is, so you can learn about it, and at the same time, it'll take your geographical location, your GPS coordinates, and the plant and everything, and it saves all that data, so that way scientists who are studying all the plants and the way that they spread, and sometimes plants get diseases, like there's the emerald ash borer, there's a cypress fungus, there's all these different things that happen to our beloved plants and trees. And it's really cool to see how this iNaturalist app will take all that data and share it, and the scientists can now look at it. Because if you only have a handful of scientists walking around trying to look at every single plant in the world, it's not doable. But when the rest of society downloads this app and when they take pictures because they're curious about plants, it's tracking all of that data and it's really helping the scientists out and it's helping them make great strides into preserving the plants and the trees that we have left and helping prevent diseases that are basically destroying them. It's a pretty cool thing. So that is called iNaturalist. And when you download the app, this is always important for me, it's helpful. It's a picture of a bird. It's a white circle with a green bird that's flying. That's the picture that you'll see on the app. So download that and check it out and give it a whirl and help contribute to science. That's your challenge. And it has not gone unnoticed that this episode will be dropping on Monday, June 19th, which, now that I'm an HR person, I feel a strong desire to educate everybody on Juneteenth, which is a holiday that recognizes June 19th, so it's Juneteenth. That's where it came from. If you're not familiar with this holiday, it's been around for a long time, but it's really had a resurgence over the last few years, and I'll explain what it is and why it's important. A long, long, long time ago, 47 years ago, plus, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and that freed the slaves. He signed that January 1st, 1863, and that was during the Civil War. It went into effect to free the slaves in Union states. In the Confederate states, it was not taking effect because the Confederates were still there. So Union soldiers had to go and continue the battles and continue the war until it was April 1865, a year and 4 months later, when Robert E. Lee, the general of the Confederates, surrendered at a battle that was going on at Appomattox, Virginia. That surrender signaled the end of the Civil War. But even then, the slaves were not free. Freedom finally came on June 19th, 1865. That would be 2 months after the war ended. And that is a whole year and a half after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. And that is when some 2,000 Union soldiers, troops, arrived in Galveston Bay, Texas. The army came in and they announced that the slaves were free. And there were approximately 250,000 enslaved black people in the state. They were free by the executive decree. And that day became known as Juneteenth. We recognize the 4th of July as our Independence Day, where we earned our freedom as a country. And Juneteenth is so important because it is basically a second Independence Day. It is Juneteenth, also known as Freedom Day. And that is why it is so important to celebrate. So if you were not aware of this holiday, now you are. And I think it would be really awesome to learn about or partake in some Juneteenth festivities and understand the history that has happened in our country. You could even call that your second challenge for this episode. The next episode will launch on July 3rd because that is 2 Mondays from now. And I do understand that's right in the middle of the 4th of July celebrations, but I will still just stick with the schedule because if I delay it, it's just going to throw off my schedule and it will screw everything up. So I will just stick with the original plan of every other Monday, and that is including July 3rd. Do enjoy Freedom Day celebrations on Juneteenth and Independence Day celebrations on July 4th. I will launch the next episode July 3rd. Listen to it when you can. I appreciate every listen that I get. Until then, continue saving the world, Sustainer Nation, and have wonderful holiday celebrations. Have a great one. Bye.